32. Contemplation. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old, through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the draught of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do ask, Lord, again that you would speak to us through the preaching of your word, that you would use it, Lord, to bring conviction to our souls. Use it, Lord, to bring repentance where necessary, correction where necessary, and use it, Lord, to bring joy to us in knowing that we are hearing your word and that we are forgiven in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you probably heard that old saying, confession is good for the soul. And if you look that up somewhere, you'll find out that the first written recording of that phrase was somewhere in the 1800s in Scotland. That's the earliest that it's found written somewhere. What you might be interested to note is that phrase is not found in the Bible. The phrase confession is good for the soul is not in the Bible. But there is a similarity to it, and we just read it in Psalm 32. And I say similarity because there are some things that this phrase is really lacking. Confession is good for the soul is really lacking in some ways. And there is no doubt that confession of sin is a good thing to do. And in fact, it may be good for the soul. When one confesses a wrong done to someone else, it is good to confess to them and to others that you have done them wrong. And it may even seem to make one feel better, to clear the air, so to speak, to lessen the guilt of the wrongdoer, for then he can say, yes, I did it, but at least I admitted it. And to some, that is important to them, and it may feel good to their soul. But just confessing sin will not necessarily be good for the soul. The one to whom you are confessing your sin may respond with bitterness or condemnation or judgment. You need more than confession of sin for it to be good for the soul. You need forgiveness. And you need it from the one that you have sinned against. Psalm 32 brings us the full package of what happens when we confess our sins to the Lord. Psalm 32 speaks of the blessing of not only confessing our sin, but also, and more importantly, the blessing of joy in having those sins forgiven. Confession may in fact be good for the soul, but forgiveness is the greater blessing. And having those sins forgiven and covered by the Lord, this is not only good, it gives us great joy and reason to shout for joy, as the psalmist says at the end of this psalm. And so by David's personal example and by the instruction of the Lord here, we are called in Psalm 32 to come to the Lord of mercy, confessing our sin, and we will be blessed with forgiveness. So I ask you this question. Is confession of sin a daily part of the discipline in your life, of your walk with the Lord? Examining ourselves for sin is not just a thing that we do once a quarter when we come to the Lord's table. Examining ourselves for sin in our life should be a daily thing. Why is that? Because we daily sin. And we sin more often, if it could be said. We sin throughout the day. And because we sin so often, and because we sin not only against each other, but against a holy God, and because our fellowship with Him, in a sense, is broken when we sin and when we hide it, when we leave it unconfessed to Him, that's why we need to be confessing our sin. The Apostle John had this in mind when he wrote of Christ in 1 John 1, 3, and 4, saying, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." Oftentimes we as Christians go through periods of our life without joy. In fact, sometimes we go through periods of our life where we are downright sorrowful, depressed, lacking any joy, lacking any comfort in our life, lacking any assurance that we have a relationship with God. And oftentimes it is because of unconfessed sin, of sin that we are not willing to repent of. And so I ask you today, is your joy full? And if not, can it be tied to unrepentant, unconfessed sin? David says that forgiveness brings blessing, brings happiness, and brings joy. That's what Psalm 32 is about. And in this psalm, we're going to see two things: the blessing of confession and receiving forgiveness from the Lord, and the blessing of instruction on confessing sin and receiving forgiveness from the Lord. So let us first look at verses 1 to 5, the blessing of confession and forgiveness. Happy is the man. David is speaking in the third person here, but soon we realize that what he is saying is a truth for all men in the relationship with God. He's also going to share with us his experience. He's also personally experienced it. Happy is the man whose transgression is forgiven. So happy does David think a man is who has his sins forgiven, that here in verses 1 and 2, he repeats it three times. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. 1, whose sin is covered. 2, and whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. Happy is that man to whom the Lord does not hold his sin against him. You know, in order to know that happiness, in order to know just how happy we should be about that, we would have to know just how grave a tragedy it is and how serious the consequences are for us of being sinners and living in sin. And sometimes we don't take that as serious as we should. Sometimes we just think that's the way this life is or the way the world is, and sin is not really that big of a deal. But it is a big deal. Just as like we read in Scripture about the lady who came and washed Jesus' feet. Was not Jesus trying to teach us that she saw her need is great? Whereas the Pharisee didn't. And so it was all about how they looked at sin and how they needed forgiveness. And so we have to ask ourselves, how do I look at my sin? And do I take it serious? Do I take it as serious because I have sinned against the holy God? Or do I do like some people say, so what, I've sinned. Look at the world and its sin. What, God is not doing anything about it. So why worry about it? David is taking his sin seriously, and therefore he can say, happy is the man to whom the Lord does not hold his sin against him. Well, then what then is forgiveness? That's another word that we use all the time. We're so familiar with it, it may not even cause us to think twice when we hear it. The word forgiveness that is used here in this passage literally means to lift or carry away. And so David is saying, happy is the man whose sins are carried away. Why is that? Because they're not going to be held against him. They're no longer there. Are your sins carried away? Or are they still laying upon you? There are some key things to see here in this blessing that comes from repentance and being forgiven. First, it comes from the Lord. The blessing comes from the Lord because He is the one who has been sinned against. Blessed is the man, David says here in verse 2, to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. It is the Lord who has been sinned against. You may recall 2 Samuel chapter 12, that when David sinned against God by committing adultery with Bathsheba and killed her husband, or had him killed, Uriah, that the prophet Nathan came to him and, confronting him with his sin, said to him, after telling him a story about a man taking another poor man's sheep, he said, "You are the man. You are the man who has sinned against God in these things." And having been confronted by this sin, David said, "I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord." And we read in Psalm 51 of David's confession of this sin, he says, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." We look at these things and we say, wait a minute, David did sin against Bathsheba. He did sin against Uriah. He sinned against all kinds of people. But what David was saying, ultimately, "Lord, you are holy, and I have sinned against you and your holiness." God is the Holy One, and He is the one who all our sins are against. How many times do we find ourselves sinning against someone else and going to them because we can see them, and we can see that we've hurt them, we can see that we've offended them, and we say, "Will you forgive me? I was wrong." And then walk away and forget to confess that sin to the Holy One of all creation. To forget that we have sinned against a holy God. We do sin against each other, but we really have no right to hold that against one another because we are all in and of ourselves sinners. We have no right to say, "Hey, you sinned against me and I judge you as a sinner," because we too are sinners, sinning against a holy God. But God does have the right. He is just and blameless. He is holy. And so the blessing of forgiveness must come from Him because it is He whom we have sinned against. And it is to Him that we should be going and repenting and confessing our sin. Secondly, the blessing, the key to forgiveness, the blessing of forgiveness comes from Him because of who He is. The name Lord here speaks of His covenant name, just like we looked at this morning in our education hour. The name He uses when He speaks of Himself as a God of mercy towards the sins of His people, that He has made a covenant to save His people. And this covenant was made first with His Son Jesus Christ, what we know as the covenant of redemption, when the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit covenanted together to redeem a people to be their own. This is the covenant that Jesus fulfilled, saying in Matthew 26, 28, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the many for the remission of sins." We need to recognize that God does not wink at sin. He does not just overlook it and say, "Well, sinners will be sinners. What are you going to do?" God takes action against sin. He does something about it because He is holy and He cannot let it stand. He must judge it, He must condemn it, and it must be paid for. And in the blood of Christ, it is paid for. In Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. This is who God is, a God of mercy and a God of grace. So the blessing of forgiveness is so great because it is not just a temporal blessing, but an eternal blessing. We, through Jesus Christ, have been made right with God, not just for the time being, not just for our time here on earth, but for eternity. This is part of those riches of His grace. We have been made right with God. We've been made to be at peace with God through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, because God has carried away our sins. Another key to this blessing is the person who is seeking it. The latter part of verse 2 tells us this person who receives this blessing is a person who genuinely repents. And there is no deceit in this repentant spirit. He genuinely admits his sin against a holy God and admits he's worthy of God's judgment, but is seeking God's mercy and grace. David lists this three times, this triple blessing, and then he says, and it goes to a person whose spirit, in whose spirit there is no deceit. And this is where it gets personal for David. For David now begins to admit that he was not that man of genuine repentance for a time. Verses 3 and 5 show us what David went through in discipline from the Lord regarding his deceit. What David is about to tell us is there was a time when he was not genuine in his repentance. There was a time when he was hiding and thinking it was secret. Prior to his confession, he tells us here in verses 3 to 5, he was hiding his sin, so he thought. And so hiding his sin, he thought he didn't have to say anything about it. He was silent. Look at verse 3. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. In David's sin, in his lack of confession, the Lord, as a father who loves his children, was correcting him, was disciplining him, was heavy with his hand upon him, not to just punish him, but to bring him back, to cause him to repent genuinely. And maybe that's going on in some of your lives. Maybe you feel like the Lord's hand is heavy upon you. And it could be because you are not repenting of what you think is secret or hidden sin. But the Lord was good to David. He did not let him just go on thinking all was okay, because he loved him and he was calling him back. His life was dried up. He was groaning all day because he had no joy. No joy of knowing that he was walking with the Lord. Why? Because he was silent about and hiding his sin. In verse 5 he says, I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. But he was before this. The Lord's hand was heavy upon him because of it. Now he acknowledges his sin to the Lord. He quit hiding in it. He confessed it to the Lord genuinely and honestly and truthfully without deceit. And what happened? Last part of verse 5. I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my heart. To be walking in fellowship with God is to be doing that. It is to be repenting of and confessing your sin and seeking and receiving that forgiveness. Because when you are walking in fellowship with God through the blood of Jesus Christ, having your sins forgiven makes for a blessed and happy person. Not happy because everything is all of a sudden going right, but happy and blessed in spite of whether things are going right, because he is at peace with God. He has had his sins forgiven, and he is a happy, blessed person. And this is David's experience, and it is our experience too, if we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Our sins have been forgiven. Our sins are not being held against us, but against Christ, and his righteousness is given to us. That's what's out there for us. That's what's out there on a daily basis. That when we sin, we know that if we come to the Lord confessing and repenting of that sin, that in Jesus Christ he forgives us of that sin. That's the blessing of confessing and repenting and receiving forgiveness. And there is instruction in that, as David teaches us that and just makes a truthful statement that blessed is the man whose sins are not counted against him. There's instruction in that, but there's more pointed instruction in verses 6 to 11. In verses 6 to 11, we see the blessing of instruction on confessing and forgiveness. David actually sets out now here to tell us to do some things, and he teaches us. He not only shares us his personal experience with the blessing of the Lord and receiving God's forgiveness, he gives us instruction from the Lord on how to do it. And we see this in verses 6 and 7. For this cause everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Verse 6 indicates to us that there needs to be an urgency in your repentance. To repent. To pray to God in a time when he may be found. And David is not changing the subject and saying, okay, I've talked to you about repentance and I've talked to you about forgiveness. Now I want to talk to you about taking supplication kind of prayer requests to the Lord. No, he's talking about praying to the Lord and repenting and confessing your sin in a time when he may be found. There's an urgency here to not let this lack of confessing or lack of repentance to keep going on. The scripture tells us that today is the day of salvation, to call upon the Lord while he may be found. And if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you are living in unrepentant sin today, call upon the Lord today while he may be found. Make confession of your sins a daily discipline. He is ready. He is there. He is ready to surround you with songs of deliverance, as is stated here. He is ready to be your hiding place. He is ready to be that place where you can go and receive comfort, knowing that your sins are forgiven. Secondly, we hear this as God's loving warning to you in this instruction. In verses 8 and 9, the Lord teaches us in the way we should repent. And here in verses 8 and 9, we see the conversation. It could be David saying, I will instruct you. Or it could be David speaking for the Lord saying, I will instruct you. But either way, it comes from the Spirit of God. And we hear these words. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Not the general way you should go, but the way in which you should come repenting to the Lord and seeking his forgiveness. I will guide you with my eye. And so the Lord will instruct us on how to come to him. And you can come like David did. You can come after hard days and hard nights. You can come after the Lord's heavy hand is upon you. You can come, like verse 9 says, after the bit and bridle has been put in the horse's mouth or the mule. And you can have your head jerked around one way or to the other, not understanding what's happening. You can have that heavy hand, that heavy harness that must be upon you, or you can come willingly. You can come before the Lord's discipline. Verse 9 tells us, do not be like the horse or the mule, who have no understanding. They must be harnessed with bit and bridle in order to get them to do what they need to do. And God's instruction to you about repenting and confessing of sin is, do not wait. Do not wait until the heavy hand of the Lord is upon you to make you, under his heavy discipline, to repent and confess your sin. Go to him, repenting and taking him your sin in a time when he may be found, now, before the bit and bridle have to be put upon you. This is God's loving warning to you. And you know, this is exactly what the Lord is talking about when he does call us to examine ourselves and to confess and repent when we do prepare to come to the Lord's table. Do you recall what he said in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 31 to 32? Talking about this examination, talking about examining yourself. He says, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. The Lord says, come now. Is there sin in your life? Come now and repent of that sin, and I will give you songs of deliverance. Sweet songs of deliverance. Sweet songs of freedom from sin. The third set of instructions are found in verses 10 and 11. They teach us to trust in the Lord, to be glad in the Lord, and to shout for joy to the Lord. In verse 10, we see a comparison being made here. The wicked compared to those who trust in the covenant Lord, and the sorrows compared to joy. The wicked compared to those who are trusting in the Lord, and the sorrow compared to joy. The wicked do not trust in the Lord. The wicked continue in their sin and giving no regard for the Lord's holiness, no regard for His sacrifice for our sins. And they have, and will have, many sorrows. And this is not just about how many in number sorrows they have. It is also about the nature of their sorrows and the length of their sorrows. It's a lifetime of sorrows. It's an eternity of sorrows. The wicked do not know the blessings of forgiveness. They do not know the peace that we have with God in Christ Jesus, and they will suffer for eternity. What a sorrow. But compared to him who trusts in the Lord, who will be shown mercy and forgiveness. Much mercy, much forgiveness, much in quality, much in quantity for eternity. Be glad in the Lord, the instructions are to us at verse 11. And rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. We're instructed here to be this way. And we'll be this way if we are receiving the forgiveness of the Lord. This peace that we have with God, this forgiveness, it is something to be rejoicing over and over and over again. I know that we can be very complacent. We can become very familiar about our sin itself and about being forgiven. Oh, I know I'm forgiven. I'm trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that my sins have been paid for, and we don't see the magnitude of what's been done. Do you realize that from cover to cover, this book is about forgiveness? This book is about what God has done in the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sins. That's a pretty big book. It covers a lot of material. To say it over and over again, I am here and I have done something to pay for your sins, and I, God says, want to forgive you. Blessed are you whose sins are forgiven. And so we have to ask ourselves, do I have that happiness? Do I have that blessing? Do I have cause to rejoice, to shout for joy, and to be glad in the Lord? Again, are these things so familiar that joy and gladness in the Lord are not something that I express? That woman came to wash Jesus' feet with her tears because she knew how much of a sinner she was. That Pharisee had no regard for Jesus because he did not know the difference in the magnitude of what they knew about their sins was great. And one left there with their sins forgiven. One left there blessed and happy. So how shall it be for you today? Do you have that joy? Can you say, I am the person of Psalm 32, verse 1. I am blessed. I am blessed because God is not holding my sin against me, which I could not bear. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Where is your iniquity being laid right now? Is it on the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it being carried away? Is it being covered by his blood? Or are you bearing it? If you are not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are bearing the iniquity of your sin. You are going to bear the punishment of your sin. Where is your iniquity laid? If it is on Christ and his blood of the new covenant, you have been forgiven. And you have reason to be glad and rejoicing and shouting in the Lord for that blessed happiness. Blessed is the man, happy is the man whose transgressions have been forgiven. And I would say to you, Christian person today, go to the Lord while he may be found, receive his forgiveness in Christ Jesus, and be blessed forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank you for this wonderful gift of forgiveness. for taking away and carrying away our sins through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not just leaving us, Lord, without sins counted against us, but imputing your righteousness to us, putting righteousness into our account, that we may be justified in your sight. Lord, help us to see how blessed it is to be forgiven of our sin through Jesus Christ. And help us, Lord, to cultivate and to work towards being glad and happy and joyful in the Lord because of it. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.